If you think about how, you know, the way that, you know, data is hosted in the cloud today, you use these extremely high performance, high capacity servers. The reason is you want to actually be able to serve high performing and data intensive applications from those servers, right? You can't do it off a computer at home. The other thing is, if you're replicating both data and computation, your consensus is limited by the slowest node in the network. So there's no so you really want all of your hardware to be absolutely uniform across the network, because it can only run as fast as the slowest node.
That is Arthur Falls, and this is episode 45 of the Blockchain Pro podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 45 of the Blockchain Pro podcast. I'm Adriana Bellotti, and today's guest is Arthur Falls. Arthur is the person who inspired me the most to create this podcast. I met him, it would have been 2017-18 in Sydney, and he was in town for a conference. And I caught him interviewing some of the local community members for his then podcast, The Third Web. And I went home that night, I started listening to his podcast, and I thought to myself, I want to create a podcast too. Fast forward a few years, here we are, episode 45, with the inspirational Arthur Falls. Let's go. Hi, Arthur.
How's it going, Adriana?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Not too shabby at all.
So you're beaming in from New Zealand and you're in lockdown as well?
Yeah, we're in lockdown. Actually, I just did a kind of roadblock slalom to get back to my house from up north, sneakily sneaking past checkpoints and talking my way onto the ferry. Yeah, to get back to my house on the lovely Waiheke Island. But I'm here now, so life is good.
Good on you. You made it. Awesome. Let's go back in time and talk about how you started your professional life.
In crypto.
But even before crypto.
Before crypto, yeesh. Before crypto, well, you know, I grew up on an orchard in New Zealand and picked apples, stacked boxes, did all that stuff, traveled a bit. And I think I was a salesperson for a while. At Harvey Norman, which you'll be familiar with. Spent a bunch of time in the wine industry in Australia, worked on, you know, Hamilton Island?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I was a handyman on Hamilton Island for a while.
Oh, nice. Were you ever part of any of the sailing stuff over there?
No, unfortunately, I didn't get to partake. I spent all my time fixing sinks and drains and things and old electrics. So I did that, and then I wound up via a dishwashing job getting into lobster fishing in Maine. Then found myself working as a removalist again in Melbourne, and then an arborist in Wellington. None of that was very good. Went back to Maine, started an arborist business, did some more fishing for a bit. From 2014, I've been into Bitcoin in 2013. 2014, I was trying to figure out how to get involved because it was non-technical. So I decided to make a podcast. Made a podcast, Beyond Bitcoin. Following year, Ethereum had come out. So maybe August 2015, I made another podcast called The Ether Review, which ran for a couple of years. And I thought, you know what, if I'm doing this, I decided I was thinking of becoming a saturation diver because it's the highest paying job for the shortest training time. And it sounds a bit exciting, saturation diver, right?
Oh, kind of diving.
Oh, it's when your body becomes completely saturated with nitrogen. So, you know, normally people who have done scuba diving will know that there's a maximum point at which you don't want your tissues to become nitrogen saturated, because it means it takes a long time to decompress on the way to the surface. And presumably by that time, you'd run out of air. So in order to not get, you know, the bends. So, you know, saturation divers spend weeks underwater in diving bells filled with helium. And it seemed like a cool job. Everyone told me not to do it. because it tends to not have very good health outcomes for people. But anyway, I didn't do that. I chose in 2014, I was like, no, just do your laboring jobs and pursue, keep pursuing crypto. This looks like it's going somewhere. Yeah, then early 2016, I thought, to hell with it. I'm going to send Joe Lubin a message and see if he wants me to work in, at Consensus. They were advertising for an office manager. I told him, hey, mate, I've never been in an office in my life, but it can't be that hard. And I'll do my podcast out of your office so you'll get extra coverage. And if you just pay me really well, because I'm doing all right, you know, if you pay me really well, I'll come in. It'll be great for all of us. And he said, do you think you'd be capable and competent to run an online media outlet? And I was like, yeah, totally. Which, of course, was an abject lie. And it was proven false. But but I like to think I had a positive effect while I was at Consensus and used the resources that was made available to me through that organization to, you know, to further the blockchain and kind of crypto fields. And while I was there, I knew Dom a little bit because I'd interviewed him a few times. He had the best ethos of anyone building in the blockchain, understood that this had to actually be a product that had its capabilities and performance and feature set given to it by external user demand, right? You can't just come up with a technology and say, hey, look at this cool technology. You have to say, what's a problem in the world? How are we solving it? Is there a user for this? You know, is there a pre-existing user for this? Or are we trying to make a whole new thing? Anyway, so I was always really interested in Definity. Consensus was boring. I moved on from there. And Dom brought me on at Definity, the Definity Foundation. So I worked for the Definity Foundation for about a year and burned out by that stage because I think I did a world tour at Consensus. And then I did two for Definity. You know, I mean, while I was working for Definity, I did more than 60 presentations in 15 countries. And I mean, I was a shell of a man by the end of it. And then, yeah, and then came back to New Zealand, bought a sailboat, renovated it, still renovating it, boat projects. And then Definity finally launched. And that brings us up to date, which is now I'm trying to build out that ecosystem.
Definity's ecosystem.
Exactly.
So how is Definity different from, you know, the other main chains?
Well, when I think of, say, Ethereum, you've got this piece of technology, interestingly, that was not based on anything that anyone asked for, but has found itself a kind of settlement layer for a new kind of financial transaction, right? And it's very expensive to use. Solidity is a hard programming language to, you know, develop applications with. So it really is only suited for financial grade stuff. You know, you do have these anomalies where, you know, you've got like games and stuff. But the truth is that unless it has a value bearing component, there's just no reason to use something so heavyweight, slow and expensive. You know, you do see this NFTs, right? It makes sense because they're expensive. You know, they are like value bearing instruments. Same thing with various cryptocurrencies and tokenized entities. You know, it makes sense, but there has to be more, right? You're losing a lot of the market. So along comes, let's take another example, Solana. Absolutely fantastic, extremely high performance, but it is still focused on these financial, you know, it's built for an existing market. People are actually asking for Solana, but it's built for a market that has kind of emerged from Ethereum for these kind of value-bearing transactions. Well, now with Solana, you can do them extremely rapidly and, you know, at extremely low cost. So Solana's great for that. The issue with Solana, it's its product market fit is based on a user base that emerged from Ethereum. And I question whether or not, a little bit of controversy for you here, I question whether or not that is a meaningful market. It's certainly it's high value, but I don't see genuine economic activity. I don't see genuine production taking place on the Ethereum network or in the crypto markets in general. I would throw an asterisk on there and say that Helium is a great example of actual meaningful service being produced. We might want to talk about that a bit later. But yeah, so anyway, Definity comes in, and their ethos was always, we're going to build an application platform that can compete symmetrically for exactly the same users as Amazon Web Services. And the way they do that is they have a whole lot more in them than just blockchain. Blockchain's a tiny, tiny component, and consensus is a tiny component. The magic is the network's ability to scale out an application. It's got a built-in personal information regulation compliant identity system, you know, so you could actually run a compliant identity system for an organization in New Zealand or Australia on Definity and be compliant. It's actually designed to automatically fit a market outside crypto. It's extremely fast. You can store, we actually are just in the process of approving an expansion to the size of a web canister, which is it's what Definity calls its smart contracts. The platform is the internet computer, from 400 to 300 gigabytes. So you'll actually be able to run an extremely heavyweight application on Definity. And the cool thing about this is, A, it's high performance, but B, you can write for Definity for the internet computer in any programming language, and it's extremely easy. So I have friends who have no background in blockchain computing, and they're writing their own applications for Definity. It's absolutely astounding. It's something we've waited for so long, and it's finally here. And so, yeah, so I mean, that probably sums it up. I think, it can serve websites, you know, it can do everything. It's cheap to store data on.
If it's a computer, you can do anything that you can do with a computer.
It's a world computer, right? Just like Ethereum was a world computer, so is the internet computer.
And does can anybody run a node?
No. So if you think about how, the way that, you know, data is hosted in the cloud today, you use these extremely high-performance, high-capacity servers. The reason is, you want to actually be able to serve high-performing and data-intensive applications from those servers, right? You can't do it off a computer at home. The other thing is, if you're replicating both data and computation, your consensus is limited by the slowest node in the network. So there's no so you really want all of your hardware to be absolutely uniform across the network, because it can only run as fast as the slowest node. The other thing is, if you have symmetrical hardware, it gives you greater assurances of deterministic execution, right? Like, you know that a piece of software that you run on one machine will run in exactly the same way on another machine. So that's another reason why you want to have uniform hardware. You also want it hosted in a data center with a really high, high bandwidth, low latency connection to the internet. Because if someone's serving it out of their home, sure, they might have fiber, but it's nothing to compare with a 100 gigabit connection in a data center that sits atop a international cable.
Definitely. So, is it just then competing with AWS and the like, or how is that different from AWS then? Where does the decentralized part come from?
Well, it's essentially just like Ethereum in a lot of ways. So, you know, you do have a truly decentralized, or eventually it will be truly decentralized. Right now it's bootstrapping, but it's designed architecturally to be truly decentralized at every level. So, governance is built into it. The node hardware is, it can be assembled by anyone and admitted to the network using the governance system. It's plugged into, data centers that anyone can rent and plug these servers in. So, it's very much the same, offers a lot of the same qualities as running software on Ethereum. The catch might be that you're getting between the subnets, because they call the shards on the internet computer subnets. So the subnet that you're running your software on, you might go for a 7 replica subnet rather than a 17,000 replica, Ethereum network, right? Or you can go for higher replication subnets as well. But so that's like the major difference. But what you have is a mature well-constructed developer environment that can run modern software. It's based on WebAssembly, of course. We actually, one of the team members is, you know, was involved in the development of WebAssembly. So, you know, it gives you the ability to write the kind of software you would for Amazon Web Services, but run it in an environment with similar characteristics to Ethereum. So that just sounds like sort of compelling on its own, but there's a little bit more to it. And that is that because you have a single computing environment that all the software runs on, it can all, every single application can call another application without having to go through some complicated API configuration or being automatically configured to do just that. So you've got this incredible composability that, again, you have on Ethereum, but you don't have like effective composability in traditional cloud hosting. So that's another really great thing about it. And finally, I'd say the really awesome thing is if you look at the whole, at the way applications are deployed in, let's say Amazon Web Services today, you write your application, stick it in a container, load that container into an auto-scaling service, you connect that auto-scaling service to a load manager, and then you have to plug it into an auto-scaling database and also a CDN. So you've got all of these components. With the internet computer, you write your application, upload it, and the internet computer handles the scaling and replication of your application depending on demand. So, you know, it takes all of the complexities out of application deployment and hosting. You don't have to worry about it. All you have to worry about as a developer is what your application does, not how it does it, which is what Dominic Williams used to say. I guess the final thing is it has a reverse gas model. So where in Ethereum, the user pays, by default in Definity, the canisters are preloaded with what they call cycles, which is a stable coin based on the price of computation that resembles gas. And so the actual developer pays for you to access their application, just like you would with Amazon Web Services. You can easily make it so that someone has to pay a certain number of cycles in order to access the application. So you can make it user pays if you like. But yeah, so that's kind of the final major differentiator.
So today, if I'm a web developer and I want to run a website, I can just go to Amazon. I can even do a WordPress website, which is what most people know how to do because it's very simple. Can you do the same with Definity? Is that in the roadmap if you cannot do that yet?
Well, so right now, there's a few hoops you need to jump through at the moment because you need to have a service provider build the canister and do all of that kind of stuff for you. There's not a lot of user-friendly tooling, but mm-hmm. Harrison Hines or Fleek, Harrison Hines is a famous name. We worked together at Consensus, and he's a really lovely guy. He's got an organization called Fleek, and they've been hosting websites in a kind of Web3 environment using all different protocols. Most recently, though, they've just started transitioning everything over to the internet computer because it's just so easy to use. So Harrison is and Fleek are right now, they're the go-to shop. You'd go to them and they'll stick your website up for you.
Oh, that's interesting. I want to investigate that further.
Yeah, it's cool. And you can just use a normal URL. It resolves into some gobbledygook that this is totally crazy. But it's on the roadmap to make that a little bit more conventionally comprehensible, but you can just use a regular URL and have it resolved to your website's address on the internet computer.
And then for the user who's using a browser, it's the same experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that is truly an internet computer.
Exactly. I mean, that's the idea. Part of the vision is you want to be able to just upload your code to the internet and it just works. And you don't even worry about where it is or what's going on with it. That's like what they're trying to do. It's not there yet, but you can see that all the hard work that has been put into this thing over 5 years is basically there.
So because you have to run a certain type of hardware, does that mean that Definity runs all the hardware, or are there companies in different parts of the world that are contributing to this?
I don't think Definity runs any hardware. It's there's a whole bunch of different node providers, that are running their hardware. And most of it's in the States, there's a bit throughout Europe, and some in Singapore as well. There's clearly an effort to keep it close to major like routing hubs, so Definity doesn't run the hardware. It's just conventional data centers. And one of the interesting things about it is the payout for running the hardware is just an attractive number. It is denominated in ICP, which is the native token, but it's just a profitable way to run hardware in a data center. It's not some get rich quick mining thing. There's no like long-term bet in that regard. It's just a well-performing.
Like if you were hosting servers for AWS, you could just host servers for Definity, and it's like, you could do both. You don't have to.
Yeah. Like
if you're a business person, if you're making that decision.
Yeah, exactly. And you'd get paid out in Definity, but what you'd probably do is just have some, I mean, the Definity Foundation probably sells that ICP and converts it into dollars for the actual node provider so that they don't actually have to worry about it at all.
Oh, that's interesting, because I think, that's an easy way for people who are in this space to start exploring Web3, right?
It is, but it's like with this stuff, it's just all for the data center people. It's tedious and not very crypto-y. Which is kind of the idea, right? Like these are just hardware providers. You don't want them to be, you don't want this to be a specialist skill. You want this to be just basic data center management.
It's below the network layer. The layer is the physical layer.
Exactly.
It's layer zero.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So what is next for you on the plan? Are you happy with Definity? What are you working on exactly right now?
I love Definity. Let me rephrase that. I love the internet computer. I have a love-hate relationship with Definity, as does virtually everyone. So I'm really not happy with the way Definity is supporting the community. They've got great comms people, but I feel like they're shackled by a kind of corporate ambition that is misplaced. I'm going to go on the road pretty soon. I'm trying to set up a little development shop that's going to build applications for Definity. Once I'm satisfied with that, I'm going to get on the road and start doing what I did for Definity back when I worked for them, because, someone's got to sell this thing to the world. And honestly, I had such a good time doing it while I was there.
The last time you were in Sydney.
It was. Yeah, it was, because after that. Because then with all the lockdowns and stuff, yeah, it was.
Yeah, time goes fast when you're locked down. Although when you're actually in lockdown, seems that it goes very slowly. But then when you look back, it's like, it's been 2 years.
You guys are in lockdown too.
Yeah, we're in lockdown now. Sydney, it's like, I think our government has already given up on living COVID-free. Everybody's just getting vaccinated as quickly as possible now.
Yeah.
Everybody who isn't a non-vax nuts.
Yeah. It's okay. For the listeners, I made a face.
It's okay. Like, if everybody else who isn't gets vaccinated, they'll be protected as well. So
yeah.
It works out in the end.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
That is cool. Okay, we're getting to the end of it. So my last final questions are, what are you reading right now? What is your favorite resource and your favorite project?
So right now I'm reading The Ground Beneath Her Feet by Salman Rushdie. I'm audiobooking Das Kapital, have been for like 6 months, because man, is that thing boring, but really insightful. Awesome, actually. Everyone should audiobook Das Kapital. Don't read it. Unless that's your thing. But,
are you audio booking that in German?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
No. But it's absolutely fascinating, and it's really helping me understand a lot about the way the world works. So that's reading. But our favorite crypto resource, So I'm really not into this whole investment money thing. I mean, hey, it pays the bills, but I'll still turn my nose up at it. But I really like Icy Rocks, which is a great Definity Explorer. There's so much there to look at. It's really cool. NFT Village is a really awesome kind of explorer of NFTs on the internet computer. Actually, OpenSea and these, and you know, these any of these platforms that allow you to look at all the NFTs out there, I think are really exciting. My favorite one to look at, though, is the Helium, which we didn't talk about at all, the Helium Explorer, because the Helium Explorer shows you where all these hotspots are cropping up around the world. Helium's this cryptocurrency. The idea is that it's you're incentivized to run these long-range, low-power Wi-Fi routers, essentially, and they are basically trying to build a new telecommunications provider. And they've got 150,000 of these things deployed around the world, 40,000 in the last month. And it's so cool to watch them pop up. It's also, that's my favorite project in terms of real world application. We didn't really come here to talk about Helium, but everyone should go check it out.
I will, because I have not heard about this. So
it's cool.
That
it's
sounds
the coolest thing. It is the coolest thing in crypto, I reckon, right now.
All right. I might even reach out to the Helium people and get them here to talk about it. And favorite resource, favorite project. Okay, so we covered everything.
Yeah, awesome. And I used headphones for the call, so we're through all the questions.
There you go. Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate having you here. You've been my inspiration to do podcasting, so thank you so much.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear it. It's such a good thing to do.
It is indeed. And you get to, you know, meet and talk to a lot of cool people that are doing excellent things.
I couldn't agree more. But let's wrap this up and then let's have a one-on-one catch up as well. So thanks for being here. Thanks for inviting me on the podcast, Adriana. Absolute pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you. And that was the vivacious and inspirational Arthur Falls. His podcasts are called Beyond Bitcoin, The Ether Review, and The Third Web. I'm sure it would be easy to find them on the internet. Get in touch with Arthur with questions about Definity. Links are on the description for you. As usual, say hi. I love hearing from you as well. Thanks for coming along on yet another journey with me. And I will see you on the next block. Bye.